The Lord be with you.
And also with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me." Jesus said to him in reply, "Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning I'd like to speak just a little bit about baptism. Today we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, and also a little bit about marriage. The Rockford Diocese has this marriage initiative where they're asking the priests about once a month to speak about marriage, life, family issues, things like that. So we're going to speak a little bit about that. Now today, with the baptism of the Lord, this is the end of the Christmas season. So at the end of this day, then the Christmas trees and things will be coming down, and then we enter what's called ordinary time. Now with baptism, what happens, and this is something that's really hit my heart the last couple months, before a soul is baptized, they can't call God their Father. Think about that. When a soul is baptized, they become an adopted member of God's family, an adopted child of Almighty God. And we could call God our Father. We have two baptisms today after the 10 o'clock Mass. And there's a prayer in the baptismal rite, and it says, "In the midst of the church, they shall now call God their Father." Of God's our Father. We become the member of God's holy family. And the saints, they become our brothers and our sisters in Christ. And what does a good family do? They pray for each other. And what are the saints? They're ones who are perfected in love. So we turn to them humbly. They see how much we need their help, and they intercede for us. We're part of God's family. And it says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So the God the Father says that to his only begotten Son. But after we're baptized too, he can say the same thing, and he does. "This is my beloved Son, my beloved daughter." The great dignity that we have from the moment that we are baptized. So the whole reality of our existence changes at that moment. Now this is just the beginning of our life in faith. And it's not meant to be static, just staying at that level. Any relationship that's just staying at one level, well, it's a false thing. Either the relationship's getting better or it's getting worse. Either it's going uphill or it's going downhill. And in the course of our life, we have all these other sacraments and help the Lord gives us to help us progress, to grow in our faith, to grow in the virtues, to become fully mature in the faith. We have the seven sacraments. We're going to talk about marriage a little bit. Now, in anything, we need to work at it. Now, someone may have a great gift, maybe a musical gift or ability that's been in the family for generations. But they're going to have to practice. You're going to have to do work to develop that. Same thing with our baptismal graces. Now, I'm going to give you an example on the natural level. Something that just blew me away when I found out about this past week. I didn't know it existed. There's something called the triple Ironman. The triple Ironman. I said, "What?" And I was talking to a gentleman who actually participated and did this triple Ironman. That's what I've heard of the Ironman in Hawaii. They swim so many miles, they bicycle 100 miles, then they run a marathon. But this is a triple marathon. And so, there are people who actually compete in these and complete them, where they do this triple Ironman, where at first they swim 7.2 miles. Just try swimming 1 mile. 7.2 mile swim. Then after that, then they bicycle 336 miles. 336. Then after that, they run 78.6 miles. Incredible. I was just, what? The gentleman I was speaking to, he had completed this in 54 hours. He said he was the first one out with the swimming, and then the other people, some others were better with the bike and whatnot. But what so amazed me, that with discipline and with patience, what we could push ourselves to do. Now this is on the natural level. If someone pushes themselves, what they can achieve. Can you imagine if someone's really working at their faith life, where they have the supernatural grace of God working in their souls over time, that person can become a great saint of Almighty God. And that's something we're all called to, that these baptismal graces that we receive, that seed of grace, we're supposed to germinate, we're supposed to be growing to mighty trees of God. Now, something that needs to be worked at is marriage. Anyone here has been married for a few years? You know, it's not something that's just, okay, you're married, you exchange your vows, that's it. It's something that has to be daily worked at on both sides. The Holy Mother Church teaches that the sacrament of marriage, matrimony, joins a man and woman in a covenant for life. One, for the good of the spouses, for each other, and second, for the procreation and the education of children. And marriage is a covenant with each other, blessed by God. My last several weddings I've done, I've gotten the habit now of telling the couples, you're very wise, because you want your marriage blessed by Almighty God, not by some man. Like when someone goes to Justice of the Peace or something like that, or if they're a Catholic, it's invalid marriage, they're getting it blessed by man, by the state. That's nothing. I want my marriage, if you're married, blessed by Almighty God. So it's an intimate communion of life and love. And our Lord says in Mark chapter 10, verse 9, so they are no longer two, but one. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So marriage is a partnership. Marriage is a friendship by which each spouse helps themselves make it to heaven, which is the finish line. And then this triple iron man, the gentleman I spoke to, he said, Father, I could not have done this alone. My wife and my kids were there supporting me, encouraging me, because there were times I just wanted to quit. Obviously, after all this, whoa. But he said, I could not do it alone. The same thing with marriage. It cannot be done alone, lone ranger. It has to be a team effort. Now, there was a study done by Focus on the Family. Perhaps you've heard of Dr. James Dobson, a really good Christian. And the study here is very interesting. So I'm sure it's brief. It says, the title, Is There Hope for My Marriage? So many times we think there's two options. Either sometimes we stay together and be miserable, or second, we get a divorce. But in the study, they said there's also a third option. Now, when I'm speaking, everything I'm going to say at this point, I say, maybe you're not married, your spouse has passed on. We could apply this all to friendships. Marriage is the highest of friendships. You can apply it to friendships. So first, stay together and be miserable. Second, get divorced. But there's a third option. And many couples successfully take this other road. And it goes through as interviewed and followed all these different couples and the different difficulties they had gone through. But they found out, these couples that made it through, they said there was there some breakthrough therapy involved? No. In fact, many did relatively little. They just stuck it out and things got better. Now, in any relationship, there would be boredom, fatigue, arguments, there would be lows, ups and downs, etc. But many times we think whatever the current condition is, it's going to remain like that. No. There could be a couple, they just get married. Or maybe one's still in school and things like that. Well, in 5 years, that whole situation is going to change. Maybe one's feeling some great financial strain or something like that. Well, in 5 years, the situation will be totally different. The devil likes us to give into despair and say there's no hope. But we're children of God. There's always hope. And with God's grace, all things can be done. Now, it says here, we're going to focus on number 2 about communication. It says waiting. Since many couples have unhappy marriages due to outside pressures, the passage of time changes those circumstances and things naturally got better. Working at it, many of the problems of marriage are a result of poor communication. You know, in any friendship, if communication fades, it's gone. Well, there goes the relationship. So it was a result of poor communication. Some couples told the research they simply learned to take small steps, like listening to each other, which resulted in happier marriages. For example, husbands learned to compliment their wives, and wives learned to encourage their husbands. It goes on, sometimes one spouse simply decided not to base all this is great. Sometimes one spouse simply decided not to base all of his or her happiness on the mood of the other spouse. Instead, one spouse took up a hobby or simply made an attitude adjustment that allowed him or her to be more patient and accepting of the others. And then this is something from Dr. James Dobson. It says, the credible threat of consequences for bad behavior. Now, a good parent, if a child's doing something wrong, will discipline them. And rather quickly, to realize, hey, don't go that path. It's bad for you. It's going to hurt you sometime now in the future. And so it goes right here. Some marriages were initially very unhappy because the husbands were engaged in bad behaviors. Some examples, out late drinking with the boys, infidelity, or even occasional abuse. And just as Dr. James Dobson advised in his book, Love Must Be Tough, these wives took firm action and let their husbands know that they would not tolerate such behavior. And most of the marriages, the husbands changed. Now this could be applied either way. The wife changed or the husband changed. Obviously, it takes both sides to work at the marriage. So sometimes you may have one spouse that's not willing to change, and you're going down a path that's destructive. And maybe oftentimes it's the wife then wants to protect the children and stuff, and that bad example, and the marriage doesn't make it. But now here, we're going to focus on communication. Now, communication is an art, and it's something that can be cultivated at. You know, first, make time for each other. I've noticed this many times with Father Barry and I, when we do marriage prep for the couples. You know, many times they're seeing each other quite often in the communication, but it seems that once they get married, all of a sudden all these other things come in, so they're not communicating, not spending time together as they did before. So that takes discipline. Maybe even writing the schedule, spending time maybe Friday night or Saturday or something like that, getting grandma or grandpa or an aunt or uncle to babysit the kids. So being together and staying together are two sides of the same coin. Another point, and this is a beautiful marriage book by a Dr. Frederick Marks, who's been married over 40 years, a Catholic handbook for engaged and married couples, something I've used with marriage prep. Second, don't take anything for granted. That goes with our relationship with our Lord. Many times, oh yeah, I have the faith, I'm baptized, the Eucharist, but we take it for granted. That's not a good attitude. We have to always have an attitude of gratitude to Almighty God, to our spouse, to the things that we have, not taking it for granted, but gratitude. Thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for being considerate. Learn to listen. This is real obvious, but many times the obvious needs to be stated. Never say, I told you so. I told you so. Well, what's going to happen in the future? Well, I don't want to talk to her or him. Either get right back in my face. This is number 4. Be patient and discreet in drawing the other person out. He gives an example. Maybe one spouse comes home, been gone the full day, he or her, and the other one just dumps on them all the stuff that happened bad that day, or the one that's coming in dumps all the bad things. Whoa, stop. I love you. It's good to see you again. Those basic courtesies and things like that are so necessary. Then Rule 5, and this is great wisdom. It's in the scriptures, in the Old Testament especially. Accept criticism gracefully and learn to apologize. The phrase, I'm sorry, is a wonderful all-purpose solvent capable of cutting through the gummiest bounds of double talk and misunderstanding. When we're criticized, what the scripture says, stop and listen. Is there an objective truth to this? The person maybe should be speaking out of emotions, and maybe it's not true, but there may be an objective truth in that. So we have to stop and look, okay, well, that is something I need to correct. That is something I need to correct. Avoid nagging. It's right here. So sometimes, did you do this? 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 Write like a little note, as Dr. Marks recommends. Your little note is a reminder. Just leave it like that. You keep asking every day, day and day. It's like a little mosquito bites. It gets annoying. Why don't just avoid the mosquitoes? A lot of times, folks, when up here, I don't have all most of this written down. So it's whatever comes into my mind. A lot of times at the moment, though. Okay. Now, here, learn the ground rules for fighting. One thing that's so important, don't bring up things of the past that have been forgiven. There's a little humorous thing here in this book. It talks about two men who are discussing their home life. And the one guy says, boy, my wife always gets historical. And the guy says, wait, you mean hysterical? I mean historical. She brings up everything from the past. Doesn't forget anything. That's not good, right? There's that saying, where you bury the hatchet. I got a map. J. just in case I need to take it back out again. When we bury it, when we go, like when God forgives our sins, we want him to forget, right? And he does. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, and their sins I shall remember no more. That's a beautiful relationship. God is the perfect person to have a relationship with. He's perfect, and he forgets. We have to strive to do that too. Those things in the past we have to let go. Sometimes it's the better part of valor when you sense a storm brewing to retreat. And if lightning strikes, not to strike back. Then you can get a huge, huge storm. Here's an important rule. Keep confidences confidential. The best way to shut down the all-important communication process is to reveal family secrets. I've had spouses that come and say, Father, I can't say anything to her or to him because he blabbed it all to the other part of the family. I don't want to go over there for Christmas. I don't want to go over there for New Year's because they all look at me funny because he's blabbed all this stuff. So the thing is, you got to be very careful. Those confidences have to stay there because life goes on. There's little arguments and storms that come. They're going to pass. There's still the whole future, which is years and years. Now, this is something right here. This is specifically for the friendship, the union, the covenant of marriage. Use sex, use the marriage act for the purpose intended by God. If you use things the way that God intended, you have his anointing and his blessing. What happens in today's society oftentimes through marketing and all these different advertisements where sometimes a person's relationship can be based on lust. The contraceptive mentality comes in where I'm using the other, my own gratification. I'm not dying to self and giving to self as God intended that marriage act to be. It goes on and gives different examples. At worst, it's likely to convey just the opposite meaning. If one hears much these days about having sex, what a contradiction in terms. If the procreative act is anything, it's the supreme act of giving because it transmits the tenderness of messages and the tenderness of ways. It can be one of the most effective forms of communication, but today's world oftentimes is distorted and oftentimes and altogether lost. Now, to go this triple Ironman, which this gentleman did, which is incredible. Sometimes I think marriages that go 50 years, more like that, go, wow, that's really something in today's world. And those marriages is a great example of persevering. But it just didn't happen just without any effort. They had to work at it. Team effort. Maybe one was working 110% while the other one was 5%, and then vice versa. Ideally, both are working at 100%, working at that. And then, if the couple is daily inviting God into that relationship by prayer, we're working then with a supernatural strength. Because on the natural level, no one could do it, persevere all the years. It's only with supernatural grace. When a couple has their marriage blessed by Almighty God, they should invite God not just the marriage, the day of the wedding, but into the marriage every single day. Even if it's only a few minutes in prayer. So Lord, I invite you into this marriage again. I thank you for my spouse. I thank you to daily bring that to prayer. Sometimes you may not feel it, but to keep in that routine, that's virtue, you know, a good habit to keep doing it over and over. So today, when we come up here and receive our Lord in communion, ask God to strengthen your marriage if you're going through difficulties. And pray for all of us know we marriages are going through difficulties. Pray. There's so many couples out there. And oftentimes there are couples that, you know, they're not coming to Christ, they're not coming to church, they're trying to get the natural level, there's no way they can make it. So we thank God for the graces that he's received, that we are children of God. And with God's grace and his love, we can accomplish all things. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.